Log Talk Radio.
There were major differences in the procedures used by each lab that would have led the FBI to identify who fired the fatal shot. Most law enforcement agencies use similar equipment and analysis. Each lab is highly respected for their work. There was nothing our investigators could point to, nor anything provided by the respective agencies, that directly explains why one lab made the call while another did not. I think it is worth repeating again that our investigation found the
podcast show. We're coming to you broadcasting live from everywhere and in your home throughout the Facebook and YouTube and our online Blog Talk Radio program. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm your gracious host, Lawyer Henderson. Thanks for joining me today. Well, you heard this bootlicking, butt-dancing Negro Daniel Cameron announced that only going to be a lesser charge in the Breonna Taylor's murder. And our topic today is really going to basically upset you, but basically, at least, you know, this is the program where you just let it all out, you see. You just let it all out here. And so before we get into our topic, don't forget that we're going to be doing next year, we're going to start back the Black Networking, Business Networking, event for next year. We'll start that back in March of next year. Hopefully this pandemic will get out the way as far as us starting that back. And I was basically trying to just gather my thoughts together as I was coming on, y'all, because in our community, we have faced a lot of things here. We have faced injustice. We have faced Black men and women going missing, getting killed and shot by the police, as you know. And we've faced a lot of stuff here. Okay? Now, Facebook is messing with my live here. See what YouTube's going to mess with my live as well. Okay? They're all messing with my live here. Let me see something here. Hold on. Okay, so now we know that before then that the family of Breonna Taylor has gotten a $12 million settlement. And that is something that you don't want to do. You don't want to settle the case before, you know, these race soldiers go to jail. And this is what we've been telling y'all about Benjamin Crump and Lee Merritt. You don't want to bring all these attorneys that's been handpicked by the civil rights generation and handpicked by these bootlicking Negroes who are in his inner circle. You got to have these mushmouth Negro attorneys and pastors to stay out of these high profile cases. Because that $12 million settlement, you can wait on that later. Okay? You can wait on that. And so these three race soldiers killed Breonna Taylor with impunity. And they know that they didn't have to fire that much in her house and kill her. But you have to understand that we're in a system of white supremacy. A lot of Black people have ignored that truth. They have ignored that we are under a system of white supremacy. And they will continue to ignore it because they basically don't want to then get it around their minds and in their bodies and their minds that the system of white supremacy just do not work for black people. You've seen then, if anybody thinking that they were going to then charge three white men for the murder of a black female, are you kidding me? Okay, why would we anticipate that to be the truth here? Why would you then expect for there to be charges against white men when it comes to them killing black people? Why would you expect that? You understand? You got to look at the system of white supremacy. These race soldiers basically have a history of killing black men with impunity, and it's no different when it comes to black women as well. See, this is a system that has basically been set up by white supremacists. That's the reason why they put judges and DAs in office who are white supremacists, along with their bootlicking black collaborators. You dig? So you have a system of oppression. And white people claim that, oh, well, I'm not a racist, I'm not this, and I'm not that. But they continue, though. For some reason, they continue to all of a sudden ignore the white supremacists that they put in office. They put in as the district attorney's office, or the solicitor general, the DA's office, the certain types of law enforcement officers, judges, you know, Supreme Court nominee judges. They know where to put the white supremacists when it comes to the enforcement arm. The enforcement arm, they know where to put the white supremacists. So when we talk there about trying to basically, you know, try to get around our minds as to why these race soldiers have not been punished, we continue to play with our minds. We don't understand as black people that this is a system of oppression. It is a system of just basically that I'm white and I say so. Okay, these people don't follow their laws. Okay, I'm white and I say so. These people don't follow, when it comes to them getting charged, these people don't follow their own laws. You understand? You got to listen, you got to look at this. The USA Today, before I go into any further, USA Today came out with an article yesterday on September 23rd, 2020, and they were talking about how that the two officers that were shot at the protest of Breonna Taylor, and you know, that's all the white media kept talking about, you know, the two officers that got shot, and two officers got shot. So who cares? People don't care when officers get shot, because look at what happened when we get shot. You see? But the article reads here in Louisville, Kentucky, that our nearly 200 agonizing days, Breonna Taylor family has waited to know if three Louisville police officers will face charges in her death. On Wednesday, they got their answer, and it wasn't what they had hoped for. Of course, it's not going to be. Okay? The number to call in is 516-418-5867. If you'd like to join the conversation, 516-418-5867. Okay? The family says that it was not something, it was not what they hoped, you know, what they were anticipating. You got black folks right now who believe that America is operating fairly and impartially. This is a system of white supremacy. It would never, ever operate fairly. But the article from the U.S. Today go on to say that at the youth homeless shelter in Grand Rapids, Michigan, where she works as a residential advisor, Taylor's cousin, Tawana Gordon, watched with tears in her eyes as Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron announced that only one of the officers was indicted by the grand jury, but not killing Taylor. You see? I'm not surprised, Gordon, 45, told the Louisville Courier Journal on Wednesday, minutes after Karen's news conference ended. But I'm mad as hell because nothing changing. Today's decision was an additional injustice on our family and this country. Until Americans start getting mad enough and speaking out and forcing legislators to change the laws for all races, nothing's going to be changed. See, here we go. Okay, I don't know. You try to explain something to black people. You keep saying all us, minorities, folks, other people and races are not getting shot by the police, with the exception, of course, of some Hispanic and Latinos. Folks, look at what's going on. You see, our parents' generation has set up the most useless, destructive way of getting, you know, of us working with the white supremacists. You see, this ideal, of course, of us wanting to integrate all the time is the reason why we're in this predicament right now. Our parents left in our this particular society a cowardly persona of them and try to pass it and continue to try to pass it down to black folks, and it has been working. The ideal that you set and let white supremacists beat you like John Lewis and thinking that's some kind of bravery and something to be rewarded of this country inside the society. That's a problem. And now white people is out here with guns because they know that that the baby boomers' children and its children are not going to stand for this. We don't need symbolic gestures in this society. We don't need symbolic gestures. You understand? And that's exactly what white people in this country has been doing this. And there was this sheriff today, and I'm going to talk a little bit about him, because he said that sheriffs, I forget where he's, I'm gonna read the article in a minute, but he says that, you know, he won't apologize for saying deputies had the opportunity to kill black men, you know, and we see it over and over and over and over again. Now, the article goes on to say that, you know, Breonna Taylor's cousin, I'm not surprised, Gordon, 45, told the Louisville Courier Journal on Wednesday, minutes after Cameron news conference ended, but I'm mad as hell because nothing's changing. Today's decision was an additional injustice on our family, okay? So here's what we have to understand here. We got to understand that we have a system that basically is a club, okay? The court system is supposed to be ran by the people, and it's supposed to be ran with the people, you know, as far as getting justice. But we have allowed the white supremacists to take over along with the black collaborators. See, Daniel Cameron is a part of being a black collaborator for the white supremacist system. He's a collaborator. And there's a lot of Daniel Camerons out here, okay? They're pretty much putting a white face on white, black face on white power. That's what they did with Obama. They put a white, you know, a black face on white power. And it's also going to be inundated in your criminal injustice system, because it's not a justice system. It's a white supremacist racist court system. The white supremacists have taken over. They got white supremacist judges. They got white supremacist DAs, white supremacist attorney generals. The enforcement of armed a white supremacy, and also you can't forget about these race soldiers in the streets, the police. These are thugs with badges. You're giving thugs badges. But yet they're going to try to tell you and I that black men are the thugs. No, these are the thugs right here. These police officers are the thugs. But the article from U.S. Today go on the right, that they're going to say that Breonna Taylor's case of protesters begin marching, ex-cop indicated. Two others said to be justified in the use of force. In his news conference, Cameron said that he met with Taylor's mother, Tamika Palmer, and other family members before addressing the media. Every day the family wakes up to the realization someone that they love is no longer with them, he said. There's nothing I can offer today to take away the grief and the heartache this family is experiencing. Palmer left without talking to the media, and her attorney said that she would have no comments Wednesday. Now, listen, we got to stop allowing Benjamin Crump to come in on these high-profile cases where black people are getting killed. Every time he come in into the circle, it is about a quick settlement, quick settlement, quick settlement. He even did a conference talking about how much money $12 million was. Who gives a damn about $12 million when there's a life loss? You see, you got to understand something about these mush-mouthed Negroes out here. They did the same thing in Kanika Jenkins' case, where they got the mom and the daughter to worry about settlement. Let's worry about settlement. Let's not worry about getting justice. Let's worry about settlement. You see, you're going to get that big old $12 million check, and everything is going to be okay. Let's worry about settlement here. And this is exactly what the white supremacists are up to. See, our brother Millie Ford taught us about how the white supremacy is. They taught us about this. He taught us a great deal about how white supremacists have taken over this criminal justice system. And white people know that that they have white supremacists in the system. They're not dumb. Come on. There are certain people who become judges and DAs for a reason, man. Come on. And we out here pretending like that we don't understand that. We out here saying that these were isolated incidents. Remember, we've been saying that ever since, you know, the first black man got shot. We've been saying that since Emmett Till. The white supremacists and their bootlicking, bought, paid for Negroes have constantly and consistently did the same thing. That's what I was telling you yesterday in my commentary yesterday. I said the white man has been very consistent on his injustice. You know, the black people don't get it. Okay, he's been very consistent on his injustice of us, and every time that you have this type of injustice, you always get black people out here who try to ignore the evidence, the facts. And these people basically will help the white supremacists. You got black people out here now who is helping to rationalize the murders in kids. You got older black people, especially the black boomer generation. They basically is out here. They're not even in the streets with us, by the way. They're not in the streets. You see that old cowardly way that the baby boomer generation basically said that we should not fight back and we should overcome and we should basically all be one and all of that crap and integrate and all that stuff. This is as a result of what our the baby boomer generation has done to turn a black to turn our people into cowards like this. That y'all looking at the end result now. Because the end result is to allow these race soldiers to beat us and shoot and kill us with impunity. And then on top of that, we just sit there and say, oh, you know, we all should overcome one day. And this is why that this has continued to happen. That's the reason why I won't give a damn about them burning down the stuff in the streets, the buildings in the streets. Because this is the kind of reaction that it needs to happen all the time. You cannot then rehabilitate a white supremacist. They are not going, they basically can't, come on, can you rehabilitate a white supremacist? He does not have, these people don't have no heart, man. These are race soldiers. They're not police officers. Who? Why would you give them the name police officers? That's not what they are. They are thugs with badges. And until we understand that these thugs with badges are going to continue to get away with murder. Who in Kentucky or who in this society in general were thinking that three white men were going to get arrested for killing a black female? Who really thought that there was going to be justice of that? These race soldiers is out here right now. They're not following their own laws. They don't follow their constitution. It has always been, I'm white and I say so. They don't follow nothing. But they want you to follow the rules. They want you to follow the laws, but they're not going to follow them because it's I'm white and I say so. That's how this system operates. You see, the system of white supremacy has always acted. Like, that's what I said. They have been consistent. They've been consistent. Black folks, I don't know where I might be. Our mind be just crazy. We go to these churches and the pastors get us caught up in religion and superstition, and we don't deal with reality here. But these white supremacists have been very much consistent with their shooting and murder and killing and their unfair treatment of us. They have been consistent. That's one way, that's one thing I would give white men. They have been consistent on their injustice against us. But black people don't get it. This system do not work for us. The system of oppression and white supremacy has always been, and it's not going to change. This is how it always been. It's not going to change. Black people are not wanted in this country no more. And so the question is that what do you do with 41 million black folks that you do not want in this country? Even though black people have built the country, even though our ancestry built the country, they don't care about that. I told you in my other commentary, remember after the Civil War, I talked to you that white men and white people in general had turned their backs on black folks. Now, yes, you got white people out in the streets, and they basically saying, yeah, we want justice for Breonna Taylor. But notice not one black person have challenged them as far as resources. What can you do to get that white supremacist out of office? Notice we have not challenged them on that. And since we have not challenged them, white people on that, then we are still up here using these broad and ambiguous terms, talking about all races and all people when it's only black people getting shot and killed and murdered. And that's the problem here. They're going to continue to use these broad and ambiguous language because every time a black person, specifically the family of the victims, come out here with these broad language terms and talking this broad stuff of all people, when it's only black people getting shot and killed. Come on now. You got to be basically foolish and ignorant to think that you're going to get justice out of here. The white supremacists have taken over. They have shown you consistently that they're not about justice, and their system is not either. But yet black people just don't get it. You got these scary ass black attorneys out here, and this is the reason why nobody hires lawyers. One of the biggest reasons why we don't hire black attorneys is because they scared as well. They scared, oh, I'm gonna lose my law license. I'm gonna lose my way of life here. And I'm not going to represent my client, my black client, to the highest extent or what have you. But in a sense of doing so, you know, it's like we don't have a Johnny Cochran out here no more. You see, Johnny is gone. We don't have a Johnny Cochran out here. They basically, what is it, wanton endangerment? What the hell is that? I mean, they basically, you know, they basically said a wanton endangerment. In other words, we're not going to charge these race soldiers for killing this sister. What we're going to do is we're going to just charge these officers. Well, I'm not going to call them officers. They're race soldiers. We're going to charge these race soldiers because they were just, you know, they got their guns out and the neighbors were somehow impacted here. This is what we're going to charge them for. That's some foolish ass dumb crap. But the white supremacists can always come up with stuff like this. They've been consistent on making up a lot of crap like this. They've been consistent on that. And so this race soldier, okay, they know that we were going to go out in the streets to protest. They know that. Because now they're out there in Louisville, they were blocking up certain types of buildings where the protesters could not get to, because they know that we have a habit of destroying property, which is good. But I would like to see more things done here. Now, the article goes on to talk about that Palmer has consistently called for Sergeant Jonathan Manley, Detective Miles Cosgrove, and former Detective Brett Hankerson to be fired, arrested, and charged for her daughter's March 13 death. It's time to move forward with the criminal charges because she deserved that and much more, Palmer said last week. Previously, Breonna Taylor's mother endures national spotlight to make sure black women's lives matter. But only Hankerson was indicted by the grand jury. He faces three counts of first-degree wanton endangerment in connection with shots he allegedly fired into the adjoining apartment occupied by three people. Manley and Cosgrove were not indicted by the grand jury, with cameras saying the investigation showed that they were justified in returning fire after shots first came from Taylor's boyfriend, Kenneth Walker, who has said he didn't know police were at the door. You see? And so therefore, now since the boyfriend shot, that gave them all kinds of purpose, and this was their so-called right to just shoot all these bullets, you know, into this woman's home. It's like, wow. Okay? But see, if this was a white person, they would immediately immediately went for cover. And what they would have done is they would have called in the SWAT team, and they would have had somebody to come out to negotiate. That's what they would have done if this had been a white suspect. Because for the white people, it's all about trying to save and make sure that no one gets hurt. So they are called in a hostage negotiator for a white person. They don't shoot white people here. This is not a society that shoots white folks. Of course, this is a society that only shoots black people. But they've been very consistent on this. You see? The article goes on to say that they failed you. They failed me, Taylor sister. Why is it Nia Palmer wrote on Twitter after Cameron announcement. Brianna, I am so sorry. I don't know what to do. Taylor family attorney Ben Crump, Sam Aguirre, and Lanita Baker issued a statement calling Winston's grand jury decision outrageous and offensive to Breonna Taylor's memory. If Hankerson's behavior constituted wanton endangerment of the people in the apartment next to hers, and it should also be considered wanton endangerment of Breonna, they said. In fact, it should have been ruled wanton murder. How ironic and typical that only charges brought in a case were for shots fired into an apartment of a white neighbor, while no charges was brought for the shot fired into the black neighbor's apartment or into Breonna's residence. How many of y'all know that Breonna's neighbors were white? How many of y'all know that? Her neighbors were white. So when Hankerson fired into randomly into the neighbor's apartment, that's why he was charged. Look, don't be shooting and shooting and firing on the white people. That's where you get charged now. Her neighbors was white. That's the only reason why these charges was fired. You see, you got to understand something. The white supremacists, but don't believe in justice. You understand? They don't believe in justice whatsoever. So when they took over back in the 18th, they still a part of this society. So when they took over in the 1860s, 1870s, and said that this is a white country and it should only be ran by white men, they were basically letting you know at that point that we're going to be basically not giving you justice. We don't care what the Constitution says. The only people who should be following the rules and the laws is you niggas. That's who should be following it. But we as the white supremacists, we're not going to follow it. You understand? So he got charged because he shot randomly into the apartment that was adjacent to Breonna's, and basically this was a white neighbor's. They had three white people in an apartment next to hers. That's the reason why Hankerson got this wanton endangerment charge. You dig? And basically, see, black folks don't understand something here. We are not wanted no more in this nation. You understand? And so to try to get rid of us, they're going to play games with us as well. You understand? Oh, yeah, they're going to give you jobs. They're going to give you all kinds of certain types of government benefits because you're supposed to be citizens. But on top of that, though, if we shoot and kill you niggas with impunity, okay, and we're police officers, you know, race soldiers, then just let it be known that we're not going to punish ourselves because I'm white and I say so. You see? And that's the reason why this Hankerson officer got charged. He got charged, this race soldier got charged because he shot randomly in a white apartment, a white person's apartment complex that Breonna Taylor stayed next to. You see, the white supremacists have been consistent in their injustice. You understand? And it's no way for us to even say to ourselves as to why this keep happening. And I want to go ahead and let you all listen, because this bought and paid for bootlicking Negro Attorney General Daniel Cameron, this dude is almost only, I think he's in his 30s here. But he sounds just like the white supremacists. He got a mind like the white supremacists. A lot of black people like him got minds just like the white supremacists. I know a lot of people who basically try to rationalize. I know a lot of some black people who try to rationalize murders of black people. They got the minds of the white supremacists. Jesse Lee Peterson, he has a mind like a white supremacist. But let's listen to this Negro talk about Breonna's case. Let's listen in here.
Having been fired upon, Kenneth Walker. Secondary to this justification, the KSP and FBI ballistics analysis reached different conclusions, creating a reasonable doubt the evidence about who fired the fatal shot. I certainly understand the public's desire for answers. Many have questioned the length of the investigation. Simply put, we had to try every means necessary to determine who fired the fatal shot before the investigation could be completed. With a thorough and complete knowledge of all evidence collected in this case, lawyers with our Office of Special Prosecutions presented the findings of our independent investigation before a grand jury comprised of Jefferson County residents beginning on Monday and concluding today. Fletcher B. Graham, Kentucky Supreme Court said that the grand jury has competing but balanced functions. On the one hand, its purpose is to investigate allegations of criminal conduct and determine if there is probable cause to believe that a crime has been committed. On the other, the grand jury serves to protect the public against unfounded criminal prosecutions where probable cause is lacking. The grand jury is unique criminal justice system because it operates independent of the court.
Okay. And I just want to stop you there when he talked there about that grand jury. Grand juries are behind closed doors. They're not independent. They're behind closed doors. If they were basically independent, then the grand jury will be basically set up where people can see them. You can't tell me that a grand jury is independent. Come on. You took this to the grand jury because you didn't want to file charges. So basically, you passed the buck on to the grand jury. The grand jury is basically also within your arms. And the grand juries, you know, they basically could make up certain types of people. All they have to do is get certain types of folks that just don't agree with, you know, charging these officers placed on that jury. So they're not independent. An ideal, though, is a lot of people in this society is racist, and they're not going to prosecute these race soldiers. If he had conflicting evidence between his office and the FBI, okay, and so that's the conclusion as far as, okay, well, we can't charge him because it's conflicting evidence. Okay, that means that you should have been able to still file the charges and let the jury decide it. So when he take it to a grand jury, you don't take it to people who are independent. You see, in a court situation, the people get to know who the jury. Well, they try to not show the jury on TV when they're doing jury trials. They try to keep them covered up because they don't want them threatened. But anyhow, here's the issue here. This man passed the buck to the jury, the grand jury, because he did not want to bring the charges. He did not want to do it. So he passed it to the grand jury. And the most of the time when you pass it to the grand jury in hopes of not basically telling them the thing that you want them to charge him with, you tell the grand jury, well, he may be, you know, charged with wanted endangerment. That's enough evidence. So the prosecution a lot of times will then educate the grand jury on what would stick and what would not. And that's exactly what happened in a lot of cases that goes to the grand jury. They're basically listening to what the prosecutor is saying, what could be basically, he can be basically found guilty of. Okay, instead of just saying, I'm just going to basically charge him with murder or charge all these three officers with murder, and then basically what I'll do is just let the jury decide. See, he don't want to do that because they're white men. He don't want to do that. And white men, of course, think they're untouchable in this country. And the ideal here is because they're the one that write the laws and enforce them. Black people don't have, it doesn't make it this country, it doesn't make the laws in the country. Black people have never, ever been able to enforce rules and laws in this country. They've just been assistants. And see, and once you basically are into the society, I mean, into the court system, you follow the rules and law because you know that white people will go after you if you don't. So we have not been able to have a real justice system. And I don't call this a justice system. I call this as a racist white supremacist court system. It is not a criminal justice system. Whenever you have white supremacists taking over your court system along with their bought and paid for Negroes, you don't have a criminal justice system. That's the reason why I've talked to you on your Facebook page. I put out that this system is illegitimate. And it is, because it does not give justice to you. So therefore, it's illegitimate. That's the reason why voting is illegitimate. It's not a system that works for everybody. It's a system that only works for white people, and they know it. So when you look at a system of oppression, then you have to then understand that we're living in a system, in a society that is unjust, unfair, it's unreasonable, it's illegitimate, and it's barbaric, it's diabolical. It is not for black people. But yet, here go black folks again. Well, let me put the faith in the criminal justice system. It's not a justice system. It's not a justice system. Calling it a justice system. It is a white supremacist, racist court system that is basically controlled by race soldiers and white supremacists. It is not controlled by real impartiality above attorneys and judges, like it's supposed to, prosecutors, like it's supposed to, or attorney generals. Stop saying that. It's not a criminal justice system, because a criminal justice system will give you impartiality. It'll give you fairness. It will give you justice. You understand? And so therefore, the miseducation of our people and the injustice of our people, it goes hand in hand. The lack of education that this educational system give our people, the discrimination and jobs, you know, as we came from Jim Crow, slavery and Reconstruction, all of the things that black people have went through in this country, you still have faith in this system. It's illogical. Anybody can say that that's illogical. Anybody will understand that. That this is illogical. How can the people who went through all of that basically rely up on this system? I mean, I don't understand. I really don't. You know, I really, really don't understand. And so here's the thing. And now we got the officer. We got the officers here in here in Georgia. Rashad Brooks' case. We still got his trial to go through. We got the race soldiers in Lamont Aubrey's case. We got them to still to worry about. We've been basically going through a lot here as black folks. We have really been going through a lot. And do you think it's going to get better? No. It's going to get worse because, like I said, we are not wanted. I want to want you to take a listen to Vice News. They were looking at the allegations of what Breonna Taylor's lawyers was alleging that police officers did. Let's take a listen to that real quick and come back with commentary.
What word would you use?
Catastrophic. On the night Breonna Taylor was killed, the Louisville Metro Police Department targeted five properties they believed to be connected to a larger drug operation. Taylor's apartment on Springfield Drive, a home on Muhammad Ali Boulevard, and three homes on a single block of Elliott Avenue, which are the focus of Aguiar's new complaint. It alleges that the LMPD went on a crusade to target people and homes on a small stretch of Elliott Avenue because the city was hoping to take over properties for a real estate development project there. And the LMPD did it by dedicating to the area a previously unknown police unit called Place-Based Investigations, or PBI, which was formed in late 2019.
I was not aware that there was a place-based police unit that was focusing on that area to do X, Y, or Z.
The PBI unit, they're the ones that get the occupants of this Elliott house every single time. And if your job as a unit is to go to the heaviest, most saturated criminal syndicate neighborhoods in Louisville that does not encompass Elliott Avenue. Let's put two and two together. Houses are being torn down. There's a city plan clearly to rebuild. And you've got one little trap house that you decide needs to go. PBI with six plainclothes officers and undercover vehicles driving up and down the road all day long. I mean, they were targeted, harassing police. Getting to the point where you need to hit five houses with over 70 police officers in a single night, that's crazy.
So you just got a text message.
Press conference at Elliott at 4:30 today.
You saw that the mayor is going to do a counter press conference?
You'll be the first time talking. Thanks, everybody, for coming out here to Elliott Avenue. My reaction when I saw the...
Now, before the mayor speak here, now, I want to basically, elaborate here on this particular conversation that they were having. Now, basically, as you know, that they're trying to gentrify the black neighborhood in certain communities in Louisville. This is happening also in Atlanta, happening in other places as well. They're wanting to kick black people out of certain neighborhoods so they can gentrify it. Now, with this particular argument by Breonna Taylor's attorneys that they were trying to get, certain types of, her specific, house by her neighborhood. Like I said, they wanted to, use, I guess, this neighborhood as a project that they could, bring in a lot of investment properties. They could basically, like I said, gentrify. And what you saw, I don't know if that's true or not, but I know that the attorneys for Breonna Taylor was talking about this. But all right, let's listen to what this Mayor Greg Fisher had to say. But we'll come back and more to so that we could talk more about that particular situation, though.
Assertions from Sam Aguiar about Elliott Avenue were. I was dumbfounded to see the linkage of this initiative here of trying to rebuild this block and safe and affordable housing was somehow tied into a nefarious objective with Breonna Taylor's tragedy. So what we're trying to do in neighborhoods like Russell is regenerate without displacement. And that has been on the record for months. You guys all know about that. The main takeaway is... this is a neighborhood that needs help.
It's getting going. Yeah. A guy that's been doing this for a long time.
plans to redevelop Elliott Avenue are part of a multi-million dollar initiative called Vision Russell. It consists of multiple projects to reshape the predominantly black West End.
Okay, so now this is how they trick black folks here. Okay, so her house where Breonna Taylor was staying or whatever in the neighborhood, they want to bring, they're trying to say, well, you know, it's a black neighborhood. We're trying to redevelop it. We're trying to do all this. Dude, this is gentrification. They're trying to basically displace black folks from this neighborhood so they can bring in all kinds of people from other foreign countries. We've been talking about this development for a very long time. We've been talking about how they want to, you know, have black folks, they move all the way to the suburbs. They want that when we went to the suburbs to stay with white folks, of course, they said, okay, well, we can go back into these neighborhoods where black people live and don't want to stay. We can then redevelop these houses in the hood, you know. And so this took place ironically by the houses that she was staying here. Now, if you look at listen to what the mayor is going to say, like I said, they're trying to make it appear that they're trying to come and help the black community with, you know, this redevelopment. But in all, when you look at it, it's all about gentrifying the neighborhood. It's all about bringing in immigrants. It's all about making sure that some white folks from Europe come in and they displace black folks. This is what this is about. But let's listen more in, because if you really have to understand something, when we left the neighborhoods as black folks to go and try to stay in these neighborhoods where white people are trying to integrate or what have you, you got to understand something about that, because it's going to be too late for us as black folks to go back into these neighborhoods. Because remember when we talked there about the red lining, the buildings or the train or whatever coming through certain areas, the districts and stuff like that, where more money could be it's going to be put back into the neighborhoods or the hoods. Because, you know, they're building up this whole, community so that they can displace black communities. They want every city in America to be a multicultural city. They don't want certain quote unquote black neighborhoods anymore. And we've been trying to tell black people about this gentrification for years. And so black people are like, okay, yeah, I'll sell my house, even though the house is going to be worth more, because when the Beltline, that's what they call it, the Beltline, when it come in Louisville, where the black neighborhood community is, or when it come into any other district, they're doing this all across the country, by the way, okay? And so therefore, after you sell your home for a little to nothing, the Beltline come in, and then when you gentrify the homes, then the people who are coming into the neighborhood, they will have a lot of money that they could basically live off of, because now, you know, you got a home that, you know, is worth more because it's on the Beltline, so they can sell it for higher prices. So this is what they did, of course, to black people when we talked there about projects. You know, they basically say, hey, you know, you can stay in this apartment, you know, this project, you know, you can do this, you can blah, 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 blah. And, don't try to go and buy a house, you know, live in the projects. And then when that didn't work, you know, back in the days. Now the new thing is to gentrify the community and just say, well, you niggas, y'all need to go ahead and try to go and see if y'all can get a house in the suburbs. Let us come back into your neighborhoods and we will gentrify it. We will make money from it. Because the Beltline, we're building up the Beltline, and we wanting to displace you because we got Chinese people who need somewhere to stay. We got people from Europe who wants to come in, and let's make sure that every black neighborhood is going to be multiculturalized, and you Negroes need to just basically get with the program. But I want you to listen to the mayor. Now, he's going to try to spin it as if this was going to be a project for black people in black neighborhoods. Right,
including
here.
Demolishing the city's largest public housing complex, Beecher Terrace, and rebuilding it into mixed-income housing. Mayor Fisher maintains that the Elliott Avenue development, led by Develop Louisville, is completely separate from LMPD investigations.
Mayor, did you or anyone in your administration have any conversations with LMPD TBI or anybody in the LMPD command staff to have TBI come and focus on Elliott Avenue?
We had no specific conversation with them. They're following the evidence in the case, place-based investigation, TBI.
Mayor Fisher, do you know they don't argue that this project isn't great, but it's more specific to how the PBI has gone about, you know, addressing this area. They're asking for documents explaining what the PBI has been looking at. And can you talk about just the process behind how they've been operating?
I'm surprised council doesn't know about this because they're briefed regularly on lease activity. But any information that is not precluded, so that we're not precluded from releasing because of the criminal investigation that the AG and the FBI are involved with, we absolutely will release all that information. Thanks, everybody, for coming out.
LPD says PBI focused on this street because of criminal activity, but it's unclear which metrics they used to choose Elliott Avenue over other crime-ridden blocks in the city. We reached out to the department, but haven't gotten a response. Meanwhile, public records show that since 2017, the city's land bank authority has acquired 22 properties here, or nearly 40% of the street, and it's in the process of foreclosing on 7 more. Many people who live in the West End do want investment in their neighborhoods. It's just that it rarely seems to benefit the community here in the way it's supposed to.
So when you think about what we're trying to do here in the city and what we're trying to do to the country, there's really nothing more fundamental than people having a stable, affordable home.
All right, so I know y'all don't see this, but when the mayor was trying to do a press conference about the new community initiative, you had a lot of protesters come, mostly young black teenagers come, and they interrupted his press conference because they knew that this was all about trying to take over certain types of black neighborhoods and trying to say that you're trying to come in to basically fix it up with these initiatives. You're basically trying to bring other people in. You're trying to raise up their taxes. You're trying to basically get them out of the way so that you can build up other properties. This was going on on the street where they're supposed to be investigating Breonna Taylor's case, but it got so wrapped up into gentrification that the people of the community were knowing what was going on. So they came up with, you know, the rally when the mayor had his little press conference, and it's just a lot of stuff that the attorneys were basically accusing the city and the police of doing. They did this in Los Angeles, like I said, they did here in Atlanta. They're doing it here. They're doing it in black neighborhoods all across the country. Let's listen in, though.
Grassroots organizer who's lived in Louisville for the past 15 years.
Okay, so I know, like I said, I know you can't see it, but it's the video on YouTube. But what the brother said when he came out there with all the young people who were coming out there, and the mayor had left, he had split because he knew that the young people, you know, we're not like the older black generation. We don't just sit there and just let stuff happen, but we basically respond to stuff too late. But what they, like I said, when they showed up with the protests, they know that was going on. It was gentrification. It was trying to get these what they call criminal infested neighborhoods, so they can have these developers to come in with these big high-priced homes and apartment complexes, so that they can move displaced black people, get them out of there. because, like I said, this is about gentrification. This is about wanting to get certain types of neighborhood. And this was going on right in Breonna Taylor's case. So the three officers, they basically were trying to conduct certain types of so-called activity that was going on in her neighborhood. They were trying to just, you know, they were going on these doors. And this is what led to her no-knock warrant and all of that stuff. This is why that they done this, because it was basically, you know, like I said, you know, when you have a situation like this and you suspected somebody in the house with a gun or something like that, you call in SWAT and you negotiate. You understand? So these officers were the thugs that was that does the dirty work for the people in gentrification. That's what happened to Nipsey Hussle. Remember, Nipsey Hussle was fit to fight them because he did not want his property taken because of the Beltline. They did the same thing here. So what it ended up being is that, okay, since you niggas don't want to leave the neighborhood, then, well, you know, we'll have Shitty Luck to come over here and shoot and kill you. You see what I'm saying? But the brothers and sisters stood up as far as the protesters because they knew what was going on. They knew that they were trying to gentrify the neighborhood.
You wanted to meet here, block. Why?
So this street used to be called Walnut Street. Historically, it was a place of Black Renaissance. After the Great Migration, all down Walnut Street, which is now named Muhammad Ali, there were single-owned houses, single-owned shops, and businesses. Owned by Black people.
Are those buildings still standing?
There's only one building still standing, and that's why we wanted to meet here. It's the River City Bank. At the time, it was the Mammoth Life Insurance. Every other building that was on this street has been torn down, and it was part of the urban renewal that happened in the 50s and 60s.
Today in Louisville, a lot of Black community lives in the West End. That's also the center of one of the biggest redevelopment plans, as the city calls it, Vision Russell.
Absolutely.
What do you think of Vision Russell?
Honestly, this gentrification plan is just the newest stage in a long process. This has been going on for 90 years. It's what America does to Black people, pushes them around the city like it's a game. The median income of the Russell neighborhood is $15,000. So when we're talking about market value, we're not talking about affordable housing for the people that live there now. Over 90% of that neighborhood is Black. Once you start raising rents, property values there, it will force the Black.
Right. So it will force the Black people out, and that's what they want. They want the Black folks gone in Louisville. Now, the gentleman in here that he's interviewing is talking about Muhammad Ali Avenue. That's where Breonna Taylor stay. You dig? So the police, aka the race soldiers, they were already scouting out this neighborhood because, like I said, this is about gentrification. And to get these Negroes out of the neighborhood, we're gonna have to just bring in, like I said, these properties. We're gonna basically give these Negroes any type of property, get them out of there. Now, as he said, the minimum income in that community is $15,000. That's not enough money for a lot of people to live on. So that will force, like he said, Black people out of the neighborhood. Like I said, they're trying to multiculturalize every Black neighborhood throughout the country so it would not just be a Black neighborhood. That is a form of not only gentrification, but a form of just basically saying that we're just going to undermine Black folks in general. We don't need you Negroes talking about racism. We don't need you Negroes talking about anything. So in order to not continue to make this as a Black issue, we're going to try to turn everything that y'all do into a multicultural situation. You understand? But let's continue. We got a few minutes here.
Black people out of that neighborhood. There's no question about it. Were you surprised when you saw the allegations by Breonna Taylor's family's lawyer about gentrification maybe having something to do with what happened to her?
That didn't surprise me at all, for real. You know, particularly when they're trying to push black communities out of a place, over-policing and nuisance ordinances become, they step up and they ramp up for those tactics. And we know that this is racial banishment, so there's nowhere to go but jail or the grave.
Public records show that from December through April, LMPD officers repeatedly hit 2424 Elliott Avenue, one of the properties targeted on the night of Breonna Taylor's death. They made arrests for drugs, firearms, or trafficking, and the homeowner was sent public nuisance notices. Eventually, he received an order to vacate. In June, he donated the property to the city for $1.
You understand that? Y'all hear that? He basically was given all of these notices. See, here's what they're doing. See, this is what black folks don't understand. Okay, you own these properties, and of course you don't have anywhere to stay but this neighborhood. And because you don't make a lot of money on your job or whatever, property taxes are going up and stuff like that, they're forcing you out of your homes here. And like I said, the minimum income in this neighborhood where she was staying was just $15,000. So you can see why Breonna Terry was working at two jobs at that point. It did, but they were messing with the people that was supposed, you know, that they were trying to get out so they can start the project. They start sending them all kinds of violation notices, and like I said, like the news guy said, they you know, he donated the property for $1 to them, you know, and the idea is just to get all of these folks out, and then they got some Negro up here. They always got some Negro to basically help them out, who the white people will seek out and say, hey, come on our team, you know, he gets paid by, or she gets paid behind closed doors to support the gentrification. And so here's the thing, and they received this on June the 5th, 2020, okay? So it's ironic that she got shot in March, but at the same time, like I said, they were targeting the neighborhood. Muhammad Ali Boulevard is where she was staying at this time. That neighborhood they want, like I said, to gentrify. And just like the protester was saying, who led the protest, he was saying, okay, you know, they've been targeting, doing this for a very long time. Okay, we want y'all Negroes out of this neighborhood so we can bring in our developers so they can get busy on making sure that these apartments and these new homes come in. You see, this is a part of the gentrification process, and this is what the mayor was doing as well as his you know people who was mayor before him. They were all engaged in this particular, you know, doing of trying to get black people displaced, them, get them out of that neighborhood, because this is a development project that was going to bring millions of dollars to the Louisville neighborhood in the city.
So whatever the initial intentions behind TBI, their investigation on Elliott does appear to have helped the city acquire more property on the block.
What's the relationship between your office, the Elliott Avenue revitalization efforts, and the Louisville Metro Police Department?
Their relationship with LMPD on that is such that if we are wanting a particular part of town to have better qualities for its neighbors, that's something that we're looking at from the Developed Louisville standpoint. LMPD then independently of Developed Louisville also has criminal investigations going on. In this particular case with Elliott Avenue, at 2424 Elliott Avenue, those two things happen to independently come together.
Sam Aguiar, the lawyer for Breonna Taylor's family, shared this project overview from, at the bottom it says, as of November 2019. In the project overview it says, that the Office of Community Development, in partnership with the Louisville Metro Police Department, continue to explore crime reduction measures on Elliott Avenue with an emphasis on place-based crime prevention strategies. Why are the Office of Community Development and the Land Bank working with LMPD on crime reduction?
They would only be working together in terms of here's an area where we have code violations, property that's not kept up, which oftentimes correlate with criminal activity here in Louisville and every city around the country.
In July, when the mayor's office released an updated version of the project overview for Elliott Avenue, there was one big difference.
The project overview section is almost entirely identical, save for that sentence, which is not there. Why was that changed or omitted?
I can't remark on that. I'm not familiar with that.
Mayor Fisher initially tried to distance his office from PBI, but he since had to walk that back. Emails shared by his office show a direct correspondence between PBI and his staff on the status of 2424 Elliott Avenue shortly after Taylor's death.
On April 8th of this year, Detective Kelly Hanna Goodlett, who is part...
Okay, I'm sorry. Muhammad Ali Boulevard was on the left side, and she stood on Elliott Avenue where they were trying to target. So let me clear that up right there. But anyway, that, you know, my point was that that neighborhood between Muhammad Ali Boulevard Avenue and Elliott Avenue is the where she stayed on. Breonna Taylor stayed on Elliott Avenue, but they were trying to, like I said, this is the neighborhood they wanted to gentrify.
Part of PBI sent an email, which is CC'd Joshua Watkins, who I believe is an advisor, who works within your office, updating about 2424 Elliott and a third strike and the possibility of expediting a fourth strike. Why would PBI then in that case be CC'ing someone from your office?
Joshua works with PBI.
And also with your office?
He's a Metro employee.
According to Joshua Watkins' LinkedIn, he's a special projects advisor in the mayor's office. He never responded to a request for comment. Vice News has filed multiple open records requests related to PBI, but the city has yet to provide any documents. Metro Council, which is led by President David James, launched an investigation into Mayor Fisher and his administration regarding Taylor's case. Hearings begin on August 3rd. What did you think of Sam Aguiar's amended lawsuit about the new accusations that recently came out?
I didn't even know there was a place-based investigative unit, and so I learned a lot from reading that. Now, how much of that is accurate and true, I don't know, and that's why we're asking about having documents and having people come over and testify about what they knew, when they knew it, and how they knew it, and what exactly did or did not take place.
Well, I was going to ask why you came forth to demand documents from the mayor's office, from the city about the new accusations, about the city coordinating with the LMPD to clear a street.
The lack of transparency from the mayor's office as it relates to anything related to Breonna Taylor, it's very frustrating to us, and it's very frustrating to the citizens. And so this was just another thing that the mayor's office was not being transparent about, because we knew nothing about it.
The relationship between PBI and the mayor's office still isn't clear, and the lack of transparency is only continuing to give life to Aguiar's allegations.
Seems like each week there's something new that comes out in this case that's not released, so it just makes you wonder what is going to eventually get released. There's nothing wrong with cleaning up neighborhoods and getting rid of pockets of drugs and violent crime, but when the methods that are employed to make that happen are misrepresented or kept quiet from the public, that's where the problem is. So ultimately, is PBI the reason why Breonna Taylor is dead? Not by itself, absolutely not. There's so many things that went catastrophically wrong that were botched by these officers in the city and everyone involved. Any of them doesn't happen, and we're not sitting here right now. Breonna Taylor is literally working through the second wave of coronavirus right now, helping people like she always did.
All right, so that's the end of that. So I believe that had this whole PBI and this gentrification crap, the police were targeting this particular neighborhood on Ellen Avenue. Like I said, you know, they the same old crap, drugs and all this old stuff, and that's what they said about it. they were able to get this guy, like I said, to donate his property for a dollar, even though they forced him out of it. You know, they probably didn't give him a damn no money as well for the property. You know, well, like they said, he donated a dollar or to him. But you know, the white supremacists have a way of wanting to then lie and claim that, you know, that you're engaging in criminal activity and this is the reason why we'll take your property from you. They engage in so much lies that it's just hard to believe anything that they say, you see. And so it's you know, gentrification is real. And like I said, we learned in Nipsey Hussle's case that if you refuse to, you know, to give up your property, or if you refuse to basically, you know, say, no, I'm going to fight you on this and take in my property and try to gentrify our neighborhood and stuff like that, then the white supremacists have their race soldiers to kill you. Now, I'm not saying that this is what happened in Breonna Taylor's case, but it's almost seemed like her attorneys is saying the same thing. Like I told you in Nipsey Hussle's case, remember, he had lawyers that could fight for him to stay in his store. And so when he did, and so they would try to up his rent, remember? They were trying to do all kinds of things. They tried to come in and raid his store. They couldn't find no drugs and stuff like that, so that didn't work. Okay? So to get you out of your off your property or out of your property to gentrify the whole neighborhood, they result into then the next best thing, and that's to get somebody to kill you. You dig? So beware of you not giving and turning your property over to these race soldiers, because the next best thing is they're going to set you up to kill you. You see? And this is what happened into this young girl's case. It basically boils down to, we got to get you up out of here. Well, right now, I got nowhere to stay, and I can't move right now. Okay, well, we'll help you move. You did? Gentrification is real in America. And the white supremacists, when they want to then do something or when they want to get you out of the way, they're going to find a way of doing it. We're talking about Breonna Taylor's case. That's the reason why, like I said, black attorneys in criminal cases, we don't often want them to represent us in court because a lot of them are scary. Now, before Johnny Cochran died, remember before they killed him, he was talking about trying to get slave reparations for the descendants of slaves. You know, it's a lot of things that the white supremacists will do, in a sense. And basically, they will make sure that the last result is that if they can't get you to do anything, okay, it's time to kill these Negroes. They did this, you know, if you look, remember the black female who tried to sue the state of Michigan because of the water crisis, they found her dead in her home. And I was like, man, why this sister went in alone to sue the state of Michigan, knowing that if you don't have the protection, you stay by yourself or what have you, or you might stay with some of your kids, and you're going to take it up on yourself not to bring in a team to take on these race soldiers, but you're going to do it yourself. No, that's not the way to go, okay? And so the ideal here is that, no, you need a whole entire team to take on these race soldiers. Because doing it by yourself, they will find some way to get at you. So when that sister filed a lawsuit against the state of Michigan because of the Michigan water crisis, they found that sister dead in her home. You did? They found her dead in her home, all because she filed a lawsuit against the state that she knew that she was going to win. You did? Area code 647, you're live with Lawyer Henderson. We're talking about the Breonna Taylor's case. What's your name and where you calling from?
Good afternoon, Lawyer Henderson. This is Patrick. I'm calling from Toronto. I heard your. Where can I find that news story that you just played? That was really, I didn't know anything about that before.
The news story I just played? Sure. That's Vice News. And let me get that for you right quick. Hold tight. It's called, go to YouTube, and it's called We Investigated Breonna Taylor's Lawyer's Latest Allegations. And that's from Vice News. And it's the story's on YouTube. And I just want you to listen to that, man, because that is really some explosive allegations coming from the attorney. And I wanted because this happens a lot, man. When they cannot get you out of a home or something like that, then, you know, that sometimes happens. And so, if you can, go to YouTube and type in We Investigated Breonna Taylor's Lawyer's Latest Allegations, you'll be able to watch that. It's about 14 minutes, and it will basically run down on what the mayor and what PPI was trying to do to gentrify that neighborhood and community where she stayed on that block.
I mean, it was interesting. I found it. Thanks for that. It was interesting listening to even the mayor. He couldn't answer basic questions of why someone from his office was coordinating with the police department.
Absolutely.
And why they were sending status emails back and forth. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, he knows something. Of course, he's trying to hide it. He can't even answer any questions about it. I mean, it's him and Hans, from what I heard, what you played. And, I think this needs to be looked into. I think all the black people that are in that neighborhood need to watch out. You know,
absolutely,
all the black people that are over in neighborhoods where they're trying to gentrify need to watch out, because they've done the same thing all over. They definitely did the same thing in New York when I was there. So, you start seeing police come up, arresting people, citations. If anybody's on the street selling anything, they come run up and, run them off the block. Like, they start doing all these things. In D.C., it was, over near Howard University, they're gentrifying all near over there. I mean, it's crazy what they're doing over there. But there was a very popular shop. I think it was on Georgia Avenue. And this guy used to play music through the day. He's been doing this for years, for many years, probably over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
This place has been there. But now since they're gentrifying, he's starting to get all kinds of police showing up saying the noise. And he was like, where is this coming from? Right? I'm playing it during the day. We were always, everybody in the neighborhood's used to it, And,
right.
This is what they do. Why? Because they want to take over the neighborhood and certain people want to move in and they don't want that music playing.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So you're right on top of it. I think maybe, after a while, maybe do a further show about this, maybe get some guests to talk about it. I find it interesting anyway. About how they're doing it. Not just justification, but how they're doing it.
Okay.
And how they're clearing,
clearing
areas. But thanks. Good show. Great show. Thanks for the link.
Okay. Yeah, we will do a follow-up on that because, man, this is how the sister died because, man, we got to start looking at certain things like this, man. People, black people are just sitting here just thinking everything is just an isolated incident. But I appreciate your call, and I'm going to try to get your number. Well, I got it here, but we'll do another show. We can bring you on. We'll get some more people, man, and let's just go into depth with this and to talk more about what they're doing to our people all across the country and even in other neighborhoods where we are. And hopefully, man, we can have a good dialogue, man. Sounds good?
Absolutely. And you also brought up a good point about not being able to protect yourself and protect where you are. At some point, even the 19 families that bought the acreage in Georgia,
right.
We got to talk about that too, because the day before they went on this news blitz and going to do reality shows and all that, have they properly secured that area? Right? That's another good question, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I appreciate your call, brother. I'm going to call you and basically, what's your name again, sir?
Patrick.
Patrick. Yeah, Patrick, I'll call you for that when we get ready to do that show and bring you on and let's discuss it, man.
Will do. Will do. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks for calling in, my brother.
All right.
All right. The number is 516-418-5867, 516-418-5867. We're talking about the Breonna Taylor's case, and we're just about to wrap up here. And like I said, be very careful when the state go after your property. Be very, very careful. At one point, you really want to give it to them because you don't want the race soldiers coming up here going to kill you. That's what they're, like I said, that's what they'll do. Okay. See, they have made black people so attractive to living in the suburbs and all these other neighborhoods, these middle class neighborhoods, and they want them out of the hood. And if you don't go peacefully and you don't go quietly, then you can go in a hearse. That's what the white supremacists are going to talk and tell you. You dig? And so I basically will do another show on this. Like the brother was saying, it's very important for us to talk about the grand jury's decision as well as to why these race soldiers are not going to be charged and why they never get charged in this criminal injustice system. It's the, like I said, it's a criminal white supremacist system because it does not give justice to the black people at all. That's the reason then why they had given me my the Democratic Party had called me from Georgia, and they were asking me was I, you know, I've been a long time voter for the Democratic Party, and I had actually told them today when they called me that I am no longer participating in voting until my people start getting tangibles on the ballot. And so they called me today to see where I was going to support Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. I said, no, I'm not supporting no politicians. I'm not supporting the Republicans either, so don't even try it. A lot of my listeners like to say, oh, you just conservative. No, I'm not basically following any of them, Republicans nor Democrats. None of them are doing anything for black folks and to protect black people. What happened to our sister Breonna Taylor, it needs to be further investigated, and the feds need to come in and arrest these race soldiers. They need to arrest these race soldiers. The FBI need to come in and arrest them and charge them with murder, you know. But like I said, in the system of white supremacy, we don't really get what's going on in America when it comes to black folks. We are being played like crash test dummies. In other words, since we don't want y'all here, we're going to play games with you because we got 41 million black folks that we can play games with. And so we're going to bring all these other people out in the from other nations. They're going to abandon their own economies. They're going to come over here and take you Negroes' place. And that's exactly why the black immigrants will try to then defend the white supremacists when they come over here. They will align themselves with the white supremacists, and then they will use their talking points. You understand? And so that's what we have to understand about. Well, you are hearing we'll be right back. Anderson Podcast Radio Show. I want to thank all of my colleagues and friends for listening. And our guest Patrick for listening, calling in today. Again, we'll have to do it again some other time. Thank you for listening.